Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this July 27th, 2023. I have your host, James J. Mailoff, here, and I am joined right now by one of our favorite people, Jackie Carantini, Human Development and Relationships Educator with UW-Madison Extension, Wood County. Jackie, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
How you doing?
Good.
We are here to talk, Jackie, and when we get together, we always have a good time. I always enjoy and usually learn something. I'm definitely going to learn some stuff today because we're talking pickles, and I don't know a whole lot about them. I know I like kosher pickles. That's about it.
Yeah, well, there's lots of different things. So yeah. You can pretty much pickle anything you want.
That's something that I did learn. I did try to do a little homework to go into the interview so I could at least hang with you a little here. But I'm going to learn some stuff, and I think are you out there are going to as well.
Absolutely. I'll start off kind of the idea of pickling is part of food preservation. Mm-hmm. And the difference when someone says that, you know, I canned because, oh, I canned my pickles. Or they'll say, I canned and I just canned pickles. Pickling is different. So there's main types of food preservation. So we can freeze things, right? Then you can also do a water bath canning, pressure canning, or pickling. Mm. So when we are, and there is a difference between when we pickle something and when we, you will still process in a canner, but the pickling is actually what's doing the preserving. So The salt brine or doing a crock brine is actually what's preserving the vegetable itself. Mm. Okay? Okay. Whereas if we are doing, say, something like venison, we're canning our venison meat in the fall, mm-hmm. that processing in that pressure canner is what it's doing the preserving. Mm. So that's the difference between when we say, well, I canned, you know, green beans. Okay. You have to process. There's no longer a water bath recipe for green beans. You can pickle dilly beans and then water bath them when you're done so they're shelf stable. But in that process, the brine in the pickle is what is preserving it versus if we pick green beans out of our garden and I want to do quarts of green beans, it is a low acid product that needs to be put into the pressure canner. So that's usually how I start off with folks saying, okay, what kind of preserving are you doing? Mm-hmm. And if we're pickling, that means that brine is actually doing the preserving. Hmm. Okay.
And brine's doing the work.
Yep, it is. So that's, you know, and that's really important to know. I think the other thing when we talk about any kind of food preservation is the idea that it's research-based, okay? Mm-hmm. If I ask you, where do you think a recipe for whatever, bread and butter pickles, where do you think that comes from? Where do you think that was?
Boy, some grandmother from 1842.
Could have been. Now, it's done in a lab. It's done in a lab. Mm-hmm. So they're research-based recipes that are done in a lab so that you can get the exact same product every time and that when you make it at home, mm-hmm. you know that it's safe and that we're not going to kill my family mm-hmm. because I have moldy pickles and I grew some kind of bad mold versus the good mold. Yeah. So if anyone's ever done sauerkraut, I get this call every year. Okay, there's, you know, the recipe says scrape the moldy scum off the top. Yeah. How do I know, you know, if it's good scum, bad scum, right? Yeah. Very true. So that's kind of the thing. So first and foremost, when we're canning any kind of food preservation, pickling, canning, it's different than any other kind of baking or any other kind of cooking that you do. Because those you can go, oh, I don't like this. I'm going to eliminate that. Or, oh, I really like dill. I'm going to put five times the amount of dill in because mm-hmm. I really like mm-hmm. dill, right? You can do that if you're doing other recipes. Mm. Food preservation, you can't. Yeah. Because as soon as you do that, it changes the pH in the product mm-hmm. and you're not guaranteed that you're going to get a safe, shelf-stable product.
It's really important to stick to the rules on this one.
Yep. So measure everything. Do exactly what it says. Mm-hmm. When we get into some other things, you know, you might be able to add a little more, you know, like for some things, onions doesn't change the pH, right? So if it calls for onions, or let's say it calls for bell peppers and you're like, well, I want to put hot peppers in. Again, that's not changing the pH. So that's safe. But you can't go, oh, I don't like peppers. Mm. I'm going to put in 6 cups of onion instead of the peppers. that's going to change the pH.
Once the product is done, you can tinker with it a little bit once it's out and everything. Yep. So save it for then.
Yes, exactly. Mm. Exactly. Mm. So that's kind of start off baseline overall right there. General of kind of food preservation. So again, start off research-based recipe. There are recipes for everything out there right now. I usually get some phone calls this time of year like, oh, I'm looking for a recipe for this. If you are stumped, please call the extension office. Otherwise, there is a great resource out of the University of Georgia. It's the National Food Preservation Center for the country. Mm. They actually compile all of the recipes from every university across the nation. Wow. They have a really great resource.
I'm checking that out. Yep, that sounds
some
really cool.
Fun
actually.
Stuff that, again, and then you know this is safe. This is not the time to be on Pinterest. This is not even to pull something out of the newspaper. And I know that sounds terrible, but we've had many times over my career where something was published in Ag Review and it was like, you know, oven canning tomatoes. And it's like, that's not recommended. That is not safe at all. We don't recommend you oven canned tomatoes. So just because you read it published somewhere doesn't necessarily mean that it's safe. So find a research-based safe recipe. If you have the old-fashioned Ball Blue Book, those are good, you know, Ball and Kerr. If you're new to food preservation and or you want to maybe teach your grandkids how to do it, Ball and Kerr have some fantastic videos, how-to videos that walk you through step by step. They're awesome. So again, just go on and look up Ball Kerr, and there's some great YouTube videos on how to, you know, do pretty much everything. Mm-hmm. Trick I always tell folks is put .edu after your search.
Yes.
Again, that's going to take you to any university.
That's such a good tip.
It is. So then it gets, again, you're research-based and you know you're getting good information.
I know one of the things that pulls people into food is the creative process and being able to mix and match. It was my Nana's favorite thing. My family always talks about, well, we didn't really have creatives. We don't know how you became an actor and writer and all this. My Nana was a creative. She just didn't have an outlet. Food was her outlet. Yeah. She was very creative.
Yeah.
But with something like this, you gotta choose your battles wisely. With something like this, just stick to the way you're doing it and be creative after it is already made.
Correct. Or, you know, you can be a little out there. I always give examples. I love to use my dad as an example. So we have a very large garden. We have a multi-generation family garden. And the reason for that is because we all share the responsibility of preserving when it's done. Cool. So I went over yesterday to pick blueberries because they're prolific right now. And I walked in and the kitchen counter is like literally 5 feet of multiple sized jars of pickled rutabaga.
Oh.
And kohlrabi. Mm. So pickled kohlrabi. Mm-hmm. And one of my brother-in-laws likes it for Bloody Marys. And I was like, okay. And I'm like, okay. So that's where you can be creative. There are recipes for different stuff. So if you want to try something a little different, you know, pickled cauliflower or beets, you know, there's sweet things. You can do sweet things. Yes, that's where you get to be creative. But again, start off with that research-based recipe. And there are some. So for pretty much anything. I love, I used to, again, get calls this time of year, and people try to stump me because I say this every time, like, oh, I'm pretty sure I can find it.
Yeah.
When we get to some of those states where they have a lot more hunting and backwoods, I know North Carolina has, pickled raccoon.
I was just going to say pickled raccoon. I remember seeing it.
And snake and, you know, different kind of things like that. And it's like, it's out there.
Yeah.
And then there's some, I was thinking about this on the drive over, that might be reminiscent of your childhood and just make you smile. Mm. Like, for me, that would be pickled watermelon rind.
Mm.
You ever had that?
No, it sounds really good though.
When we were kids, my grandma never wanted to waste anything. And so you'd eat the red part of the watermelon and then you'd cut off the green part of the watermelon, the outside rind, because that was bitter, and you'd save the white part. So it would have just a hint of the pink, white, and then maybe just a hint of the green. You'd cut it up in cubes and then you'd pickle it. And it's a sweet pickle brine with anise. So when you eat it, and then we'd open them up like at Christmas time and your lips would tingle, you know, from the anise because it was just a sweet treat.
Oh, I gotta try that.
And reminiscent of the summer. So a lot of times that's the fun part.
Good.
Fun part about pickling it too, or any kind of food preservation, is it gives you that memory of taking you back right then and there. And you and I talk about this all the time, the power of memories.
Yeah.
But But also, right now, things are... It's more frugal, so we want to save as much as we can. And if you're like, I really don't want a pressure can, that's too much for me, pickling is a great way to do it. So
because you're so right about this, Jackie. Our favorite flavor is nostalgia. Mm-hmm. that's our favorite flavor there is. And it's all of us, too. Young, old, it doesn't matter. And like that young, old, we've all been affected by the economy. We've all been affected by these things. And from what I understand, pickling, not the most expensive, I don't want to say hobby, but for lack of a better, I think hobby is a fair word. Yep. It's not that crazy expensive kind of thing to do.
Yeah. Absolutely not. So let's talk a little bit about that. So basic ingredients in pickling. Number one, you start off with your water. So water is usually when someone calls me and says, oh, my pickles are mushy. Or, oh my gosh, my pickles turned blue. What do I do? Or my brine is cloudy. It's all white. I can't even see into my jar. Usually the first thing I ask is, what kind of water do you have? So are you living in the city? Do you have well water? Do you have high iron in your water? Water makes all the difference in the world. So we will, a lot of times you'll see things about using firming agents, you know, like alum or grape leaves, or you can actually get Bulker cells, pickle crisp, things like that. If you start off with kind of some basic pieces, you don't need any of that. But the first question I always ask folks is about water. So the harder the water that you have, the more issues you're going to have. So if you know you have hard water, you know, we can recommend that you boil it the night before, skim off any sediment, let it sit overnight. I usually tell folks, if you're concerned about your water, just buy distilled water for pickling, because there is nothing worse than, you know, having a whole bushel of cucumbers and then they're mushy or they're yuck and no one wants to eat them. So,
and again, most waters are affordable.
So start off with good water. So that's kind of your first piece. I mentioned iron. So if you do have, you know, I have well water, high iron. I know south of here, like if we get towards the Mead and then up into north up into Marathon County, really high iron in water. So people will come in and be like, my pickles are blue. They put garlic in. They're like, all the garlic cloves are like bright blue. Is that safe to eat? It is safe to eat. But that means that chemical, the iron interacted during that chemical process. But again, so if you don't want that, distilled water is a good place to start. So generally, that's the first thing I ask is, what about your water? Second ingredient is salt. So you do need to use canning and pickling salt. If you do use table salt, you will get a cloudy base. You won't be able to see into your jars because there are some other ingredients in that table salt that will interact and affect it. And also probably not even a safe product. So we can't guarantee that, because again, the salt is the main actor here. The lead. So you have to make sure that you do have that pickling or canning salt. I usually get questions about, well, can I use kosher or can I use this or that? Pickling salt. So there are some substitutes, but really start with that pickling salt. That is going to get you the best product and know that it's going to be safe.
You know, Jackie started off with this in the right place. Stick to the rules. Stick to the ingredients on this one.
Salt, one of the most common questions I get is, well, can I do a low salt pickle? Or I always chuckle at this, can I do a low salt sauerkraut? and the answer is no. Because in this particular thing, salt is doing the brining. So you cannot decrease that at all, because then you run the risk of not getting a safe shelf stable product. If you want to, when we're talking just straight up canning, then no, salt has no role in that whatsoever, because processing in the pressure canner or the water bath is what's doing the preserving. So that, you don't have to add salt at all. But if we are actually pickling, that salt is essential. You cannot. The suggestion I usually give folks is, after it's done, if you want to wash it off, you can get rid of, some dietitians say almost 75% of the salt. After, you know, by washing it off, once, or your sauerkraut, once it's done and preserved, you can do it that way to try to reduce some of it. But in the actual process, no, don't. You can't reduce it at all. And also, again, try not to substitute for other types. Stick with canning salt to get best product.
Speaking with Jackie Carantini, Human Development and Relationships Educator with UW-Madison Extension, Wood County. And Jackie, we're talking pickles, we're talking brining, and pickling in general. So we've got that kind of stuff set up. Where do we go next?
One more main ingredient.
Oh, yeah.
Vinegar.
We can't skip steps. I'm sorry.
We can't skip vinegar.
You really need the vinegar.
Yep, it is really important. So especially if we're talking about, well, there's different types, and we'll talk about that in a second, whether we're talking about fermented pickles or fresh packed pickles. But vinegar is important. The piece that, especially, and I just saw a news cast on this recently, just in the last week, that it has to be 5% vinegar. So when you look at the grocery store and you, you know, get, pull it up and look at it, it needs to be 5% acidity. And lately folks have been saying, well, I can't find it, it's all 4%. There is, you probably didn't even know this, there are different percent types of vinegar. There's something called cleaning vinegar that even has a higher percent acidity to it. But pull it out. What we found, and what we've seen just again in the last couple of weeks, and what's made national news, is that some of the off generic store brands are, they've lowered it to 4%. That is not safe for pickling. So it does need to be 5% acidity. We do not recommend you make homemade vinegar for pickling, again, because we have to make sure that it's 5% acidity to get that safe shelf-stable product.
Just even that 1% difference shows you how important it is to stick to these ingredients.
Absolutely. And you will notice that it, even like with salt, I've had people say, well, I only put in, you know, 1 teaspoon versus, you know, 2 teaspoons, whatever. And it, you know, it got, it was mushy, or it wasn't. Because again, each one of those is designed to give you the exact texture that you want. And then again, from a food safety standpoint, shelf stable product. So you have to know that things like that brine, so that vinegar and that salt, is actually, you know, preserving it so that no mold can grow in there. So it's, that's the good part. I shouldn't say that, because if we're talking about fermented pickles, they are molding, they're fermenting, and that's what's actually, so that's the difference between a brine pickle and a fermented pickle. Brine pickles, that salt and vinegar brine is actually preserving. A fermented pickle, you're actually letting it start to ferment, and its own carbohydrates are breaking down. It creates bubbles, creates that acid, and that is what's doing the fermenting. So if you've seen something where someone says they, you know, did a crock pickle and it had to sit, you know, for weeks before it was done, then someone else said, well, I put one in the fridge and I ate it in a day. Different kind of pickle, different kind of process. So just because we say pickle doesn't mean, so generally there's three main types. So there's a fermented pickle, which what I said, it breaks down its own sugars and carbohydrates, and then it, that's what does the preserving. Fresh pack or quick process was where you create a brine, you boil the brine, you pour it over top of the product, and then let it process, and that usually is pretty quick, a couple of days, and you might have a decent pickle. And then there's refrigerator or freezer pickles. So that's something new. In the last maybe 10, 15 years, people didn't even know that, because a lot of times you don't want to put a cucumber into the freezer because there's so high water content that it turns mush. But there are beautiful freezer pickle recipes and refrigerator. So that's, again, something a little easier, but it turns out really good. So that's another way to that you could do it. So there's three different main types.
You mentioned this earlier, Jackie, and we kind of have heard others that do pickling joke about it before, that you can pickle anything. If you can fit it in a jar, you can pickle it. Are there things that people don't always think of that would be a good or a fun thing to try pickling? Because I think everything is a bit of a big net. But is there anything that you hit yourself of, or you've heard others try, that might be a good option for people to give a shot, especially if they're already pickling and they've been pickling, but maybe they want to try pickling something different?
Yeah. So especially if you haven't done something sweet, I encourage folks to try sweet. It's not necessarily sweet because it still has a little bit of a tang because it is pickled. But things like pickled beets turn out beautiful. Beets is one of those things that either you like it or you don't like it. And some folks are like, oh, I don't know that I really like a boiled beet, but oh, I like a, you know, a pickled beet. Yeah, they turn out beautifully. And they stay that bright, bright purple color. And also something that you can gift later on. So that's kind of fun. Sweet, if you can get a hold of crab apples, pickled crab apples, again, something fun.
Oh, I would definitely try that.
Yes, they turn out amazing. Again, one of those childhood memories. I can remember, you know, pulling out the stem and going, and the whole thing, you know, comes out in your mouth. myself. Mm-hmm. So yeah, just kind of different things. A lot of times I'll have folks, especially who like things like Bloody Marys, they're like, mm-hmm. oh, I want to do some fun stuff. So dilly beans, asparagus, cauliflower, mushrooms, rutabaga, kohlrabi, lots of different things can all be pickled. Hmm. So think, you know, and the thing is, a lot of times it's not super expensive. So if you're going to the farmer's market and you're buying large amounts, I wouldn't recommend trying something. But if you're going to do a small batch of something and you have it in your garden, I can salt and vinegar and, you know, water isn't overly expensive. I'll try a batch of cauliflower and see how it turns out. And see if we like it or not.
What about the jars? That can be one of those things that, you know, there's some people where I have all my grandmother's jars and I've got tons of them and stuff. And then there's others where I don't even know where to find a jar nowadays or something. Yeah. That could be a bit of a crux, I imagine.
So it is. And that's actually kind of a controversial topic, if you can have one when it comes to canning. Over the years, folks have said that, you know, I want to hang on to older ones and or I reuse jars. Mm-hmm. So like a mayonnaise jar, Miracle Whip, things like mm-hmm. that. And if we're talking about actual canning, so water bath or pressure canning, recycled jars are not recommended. That glass is actually designed as one-time use glass. Yeah. Yeah. So it's made to go through the preserving canning process one time, and they cannot guarantee that after that it will last. The other part about using those type of jars is that you want to make sure that your lid and ring fits on and gets a good seal. Mm-hmm. And they were not, again, designed for that. So if we're talking about pressure canning or canning, then I would say stick with, it doesn't make a difference what brand it is. During COVID, we got a lot of fun off brands. They're all designed for canning. They are all safe. If you do have older jars in your cellar or in the basement, as long as that lid and ring do still fit, then yes, those are considered safe. Don't really recommend doing the wax anymore. That's not, it's just not recommended, again, because of getting a good seal and making sure that it's shelf stable. But as far as pickling, you can do, especially if you're going to do like a refrigerator pickle, things like that, you can reuse a jar because we're not processing it. So then if you want to use an old jelly jar or things like that, as long as, again, that top seal's on and you can get a seal, then go ahead and you can use those. So
if you haven't gotten jars before, is there a store to get those, but a certain type of jar that you were kind of touching on this a little bit already, certain jars you should be looking for, and also keeping in mind, I would imagine too, you only need so many. You don't have to have a whole shelf of jars.
No. Yeah. So most of them come in boxes of a dozen at a time.
Yeah, yeah.
And I would recommend, again, when you're looking at, again, a lot of the different research-based recipes, depending what it is, it'll have, you know, half pints or pints or quarts. A lot of things pickling, you don't necessarily want to do a quart. Start off with the pints. That way, a couple different things. People say they get a better product if it's not so many in the jar, and you're not going to eat that many at a time.
Yeah.
So, but if it's something you know, you're going to, oh, we love those. But most of the time you start off with the pint jars. That's a good way to go. And it depends if you're gifting it too. So then you can also get fun, fancy jars. Right now, you know, the hardware stores, Walmart, Fleet Farm, they all carry jars. And like I said, there's some off brands on the market right now that work just great. You can Amazon, you can search them, lots of different ones. Previous years during COVID, we had a hard time getting the rings and the lids. Like there was a national shortage of them, but right now they're good. So as long as you get lids and rings that fit. But like I said, you can also do, if we're talking about fermenting, you can do crock and then any kind of container that you're going to keep it in the fridge. So even if you want to put it after they're done in, you know, a plastic container with a lid or a freezer safe container, those work too.
And certainly have fun with this, I would imagine. Yeah, you know, it's a big part of it.
It is. I think that's the good thing is to pull everybody together. We do canning in our family as a family piece because there are so many processes to it.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, okay, you are doing the salt. You are measuring the salt. That is your job. You are measuring the salt. You are stirring the brine. You are, you know, that kind of thing. And again, so my 83-year-old father, when I went and talked about his kohlrabi, he was like, I did it right this time. Like, I set it up and I had stations, and he's been doing it for, you know, 60 years, but it's a lot. There's different processes to it. So I think, you know, it's a great family event. Pull everybody together, give everybody a task, and make your way through it. But so if anybody's looking for research-based recipes, Wisconsin, we still do have our food preservation series. So we do have the bulletins for all types of canning. We do have one called Homemade Pickles and Relishes. They're currently no cost on them. So they're available for free online, or we do have some. So if you want to contact our office, we can get those to folks. 715-421-8437. And the one thing I totally missed on, which should probably be the most important piece with all canning, I was thinking about this with the farmer's market today, is start off with the freshest possible produce. So what I mean by that is, if you went to the farmer's market this morning and you picked your produce, do not wait and go, oh, it's too hot today, I'm going to wait till Sunday. Chances are those are going to be mushy cucumbers. They're not going to turn out. You're not going to get a good product. So try within 20, no matter what kind of canning or preserving you're doing, within 24 hours from pick to preserve. I know another one I hear a lot with folks is, well, I didn't get a lot of cucumbers at one time. I got three today. I'll get three tomorrow. And so by the end of the week, I'll have enough to actually can. You might get mushy pickles. So
You can find
fresh produce.
Fresh produce, everybody. Dude, I always love talking to you, Jackie. Thank you so much for the time. We'll talk again real soon. And we'll have more Midday Magazine for you tomorrow right here at WFHR.